All right, Song of Solomon, chapter 7, verse 6 through... This section goes through verse 4 of chapter 8. This is the second part of point 5, Shulamith, the fair but humble princess. The second part, it shows the interaction of Solomon and Shulamith as a married couple. And previously we saw where there had been conflict, problem. But here we're going to see them glorying in the intimacy and fellowship of being married. Gotta make sure this is okay. Twice William snatched it off its clip. He's getting really good at grabbing things. My wife, the other day, she was holding a drink, and he just reached out with both hands and just grabbed the rim and pulled. And she was like struggling. She's like, I should be strong enough to resist him. I said, here, give me the little bully. I started teasing him, calling him a little bully, because last Sunday, Angie was holding Ethan and Heidi was holding William, and they were real close, and William reached out and he pulled the pacifier out of Ethan's mouth and put it in his own. I was like, you little bully. So we're having a lot of fun with William. So this section, it shows them glorying in the intimacy and fellowship of being married. I'm going to read through the section. It says, how fair and how pleasant art thou, O love, for delights. This thy stature is like to a palm tree, and thy breast to clusters of grapes. I said, I will go up to the palm tree. I will take hold of the boughs thereof. Now also thy breast shall be as clusters of the vine, and the smell of thy nose like apples. And the roof of thy mouth like the best wine for my beloved, that goeth down sweetly, causing the lips of those that are asleep to speak. I am my beloved's, and his desire is toward me. Come, my beloved, let us go forth into the field. Let us lodge in the villages. Let us get up early to the vineyards. Let us see if the vine flourish, whether the tender grape appear and the pomegranates bud forth. There I will give thee my loves. The mandrakes give a smell, and at our gates are all manner of pleasant fruits, new and old, which I have laid up for thee, O my beloved. Oh, that thou wert as my brother, that sucked the breasts of my mother. When I should find thee without, I would kiss thee. Yea, I should not be despised. I would lead thee and bring thee into my mother's house, who would instruct me. I would cause thee to drink of spiced wine, of the juice of pomegranate. His left hand should be under my head, and his right hand should embrace me. I charge you, O daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up, nor awake my love until he please. And so, when you read this, for the most part, it's pretty obvious. Using poetic language, it's talking about that intimacy, physical intimacy and delight that is shared in a married couple. A couple of things I wanted to touch on, where she says, that thou wert as my brother, then I would kiss you. What this is talking about is, you know, even in our society, some people are uncomfortable with public displays of affection. You know, they're like, PDA, PDA. And they don't want that happening. Well, this was the case for the most part in the Middle East. But if it was brother and sister, you could be openly affectionate and it was okay. So she's like, basically what she's expressing is she's saying, I wish you were like my brother so I could kiss you and hold your hand even in public. You know, and so she's just talking about her delight to want to enjoy that level of intimacy with her husband, even at all times. When I was studying this, you know, we see this picture of them delighting in each other, delighting in that intimacy and glorying in it. And, you know, like I said before, I always ask the question, you know, why is this included? You know, this is God's word. Why is it included? Why is it here? God intended it to be included. And one of the things I was thinking about is, recently I had run across reading about the Amish, that they actually teach that that except for procreation, physical intimacy between a husband and wife should be limited. You know, that if it is not for having a child, such physical intimacy should be limited. And one of the, you know, one of the pictures that's often presented about us as Bible believers is that we are against physical intimacy, that we're uptight about it, and we don't have a healthy attitude about it, is what they say. But rather, what I tell people is, I say, I am not against that. I said, but I am for it being expressed in proper channels. You know, the Bible says that the only place that, if you don't mind my using the word, that the only place that sexuality is to be legitimately enjoyed is between a husband and a wife. And that there is no other situation in which that is okay. Not only is it that the only place where it is lawful, but it's encouraged and celebrated. In Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15 says, drink waters out of thine own cistern, and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountains be dispersed abroad, and rivers of waters in the streets. Let them be only thine, and not strangers with thee. Let thy fountain be blessed. And up to this point, we're going, what is he talking about? But he says, and rejoice with the wife of thy youth. Let her be as the loving hind and pleasant roe. Let her breast satisfy thee at all times, and be thou ravished always with her love. So this whole idea of a picture that the Old Testament uses for that, that sexual relationship is often one of drinking and eating. And so not only is it lawful between a husband and wife, but it is encouraged and celebrated. That, you know, God wants us to enjoy that and to have that, but he wants us to have it correctly channeled. And so we see here a proper picture of how it should be in the marriage relationship between a husband and wife. You know, one of the problems that we run into is that we have these desires for intimacy, but we seek to fulfill them, and by I mean as a race, as a people, that we seek to fulfill them in unlawful channels. I discovered within myself, at one time I didn't want to get married. I wanted to stay celibate and just focus on the things of the Lord. But I found in myself a deep and abiding desire to have somebody that I could adore freely. That it would be okay for me to fully shower my affection and love on that person. That I had a deep-seated need for that. And I was just telling my wife just the other day, I was like, I just love it that I can fully shower my affection on you. And it's good. And it's okay. And it's wonderful. And we can be all mushy and enjoy each other. And I told her just the other day, I was driving home from work, and I said, an amazing thing is about to happen. She said, what's that? I said, I get to come home to you. Once again, another day, an amazing thing gets to happen. I get to come home to you. That is just too wonderful for words. To not be alone, to have someone to love and to be loved by. And we see them delighting in each other, Solomon and the Shulamite, fully delighting in the intimacy and fellowship of being married. And this is good. This is right. We shouldn't be ashamed of this. Yes, it is a private thing. But it's a good thing. When I was talking to Alex before he got married, before he married my wife's sister, Sadie, we were talking about a lot of these things, and I said, just let her be the outlet for all your desire for intimacy and emotional needs. You know, a lot of couples, when they, you know, when you hear about couples getting into adultery and such, you find out that one of the things that led to that was that they started looking to someone else to fulfill that desire for emotional intimacy. They started, you know, leaning on somebody else, often at work. Sadly, for both men and women who get into adultery, the person that they get involved with was often somebody that they worked with, because they have that close interaction. And instead of looking to their spouse that God gave them for this purpose, they look to the other for that level of emotional intimacy. And so I think part of the reason that this, that God included this, is to show us how it should be. Fully delighting in the other. Seeking in the other the fulfillment of that desire for closeness and intimacy. You know, in the New Testament, it says one of the purposes of this is to protect us from sin. The Apostle Paul says that a man and a wife should not stay separate from one another except by consent, and that for a short time. And it says, lest the devil tempt them. And so God has created this situation to protect us. And I was thinking about that, that, you know, when we focus on living the loving life, focusing on the other, focusing on the one loved, that it protects us from sin, because sin ultimately is selfishness. When we're focused on ourselves, we start thinking about what, you know, like, well, I think I deserve better or more or whatever. But when we're focused on the other, it protects us from the temptations of sin. You know, God with Israel often compared his relationship to Israel as a man to his wife. And he called it, you know, if my wife went to another man for that emotional fulfillment and desire for intimacy and human contact, I'd be very jealous. I would have to destroy him. No, probably not, but I would be deeply, deeply hurt. And God in Israel, when Israel turns to false gods to meet their needs, he sends his prophet, and his prophet says, is there no God in Israel that you go to another? That, and he calls them an adulterous people. Just as in our spouses on a physical nature, that we are to see, you know, seek the fulfillment of that desire for human intimacy with our spouse, our proper channel, we are to do so spiritually with the Lord. That we are in all things, you know, we have a built-in desire to have a relationship with God, to have spiritual fulfillment. That's why people are constantly looking for new things. Whether they turn to the horoscopes or some new age thing, people want that sense of fulfillment, spiritual fulfillment. And there's only one place that we are going to find that. It is not a mistake or some strange thing that Christ describes his relationship between us and him as being between a husband and a wife. As the wife, we are to seek for all of our fulfillment, all our needs, from our husband, the Lord Jesus Christ. We're not to run to someone else to find that fulfillment. We're to rely on him. And so as Christians, we need to stay focused on, you know, in these different relationships, we need to stay focused on the loved one. We need to stay focused on the person that God has given us, you know, our spouse, and in this, and in spiritually in Christ, that this protects us. One of the other things that I wanted to show here is the reciprocal nature of this, the response of the one to the other. How it is so easy to kill that happy, you know, we see this picture where they're so happy together, and how easy it would be to kill that by the other responding negatively, you know. Previously, you know, we saw he came to her and she said, well, I'm in bed. I got washed up for the night. My hair's up in curlers. I'm, you know, I got a headache or, you know, whatever. I don't want to get up. But here we see her, he comes to her in these sweetly loving, intimate words. And instead of turning him away, she says, you know, she responds welcoming and in kind. How easy it is that when love calls, that if we respond in a fleshly way, that we can quench that and we can harm it. I told Heidi one time, I said, She was talking about not wanting to bother me, and I said, now, wait a minute. I said, Heidi, I said, if you need me, the rest of the world has to go on hold. You're number one. I told my boss at Prime when Heidi was pregnant, I said, if I get a call that she's going into labor, I said, is that going to be okay with you guys? For me to leave? I said, because if not, when I get back, you can tell me whether or not I still have my job. I said, because I will go. And I had a situation at when I was working at Pearson where Heidi had a bad reaction to something, to a medication, and she had to be rushed to the emergency room. And I think it was a form of an antibiotic. And Levaquin? Is Levaquin an antibiotic? Anybody know? Anyway, that's what it was. It was Levaquin. And she had a bad reaction to it. She had to be rushed to the emergency room. And I just ran to my boss and I said, my wife's being rushed to the emergency room. I'm leaving. Bye. And I got to the emergency room really quickly, and my wife told her friend. She said, you need to be out there. When he gets here, you need to be out there and bring him to me. And she says, I will. She says, no, you don't understand. If not, it'll be bad. When I got there, she wasn't out there. I came bursting through the emergency. I didn't even bother checking in. I just slammed open the emergency room doors and I said, where is my wife? Where is Heidi Porter? Just like that. They looked really startled. And one of the nurses was like, so. Thing about these anecdotes is we see here them focusing one on the other. How easy it is that the flesh leads us to say, no, I want my time. I want my me time. I want, just shut up. All this I stuff. Was Jesus going I when they nailed him to the cross? I don't know. Sometimes I get frustrated and upset, and that's why I say things that you don't like that. Because the Bible makes it so clear that we're to focus on others. Focus on the Lord and others. To love others, to serve others, to stay focused on others. And yet again and again, we keep wanting to focus on ourselves. And we try to explain away what the Bible clearly says about that this life isn't about you. It's about God and serving and loving other people. And this is such a beautiful illustration of that. And it could have been so easily poisoned and destroyed by selfishness. If we want that, if we want that happiness and that richness in our human relationships and in our relationship with the Lord, we need to get off of this self-focus and be focused on the one loved. You know, the Bible says that the Son of Man didn't come to be served, but to serve others. And he wants us to live that way. He set that example for us. This is the way that God designed the universe. Do you guys understand this? This is the way God designed things to work. That means if you do it a different way, it's going to fail. If you're having problems in your marriage, I can say very simply, it's because there's selfishness. In how you guys are interacting. Focusing on self instead of on the other. If you do not have that relationship with the Lord that you desire, it is because of selfishness. You know that you ought to spend time with the Lord in prayer, in communion, and seeking Him. But you don't because I'm tired. I don't feel well. I'd rather watch TV. I have other things I would rather do. Selfishness. Love is about sacrificing self for the one loved. That's how God designed the universe to work. And if we do it any other way, we're going to fail. All our relationships are going to fail. So, you know, we take this illustration of them delighting and focusing on the other, and the one loved, rather than on self. And we ought to use this to encourage ourselves to like behavior. Husbands, you know, delight yourselves in the wife of your youth. Be always ravished with your love. Where's the idea of falling out of love there? You're not going to find it. The Bible commands you to be ravished by her love. Go ahead, sir.
The passage you were quoting in 1 Corinthians 7 uses a very strong word for the husband or wife that refuses the intimacy of the other. He says that's defrauding them. That's a pretty strong word.
So, you know, I saw several things here. You know, one is that it is good, it is right, it is wonderful, the intimacy between a husband and wife. That sexuality has its place, but it's between a husband and wife. It's the way God designed it. And that we ought to be focused on the other. You know, that same passage that Pastor Wargo was talking about, it says that the husband has not power over his own body, but the wife. And the wife has not power over her body, but the husband. And the word translated power there is the word authority. I once made someone very mad. I said, you do not have the right to tell your spouse no when it comes to intimacy. And they got very mad at me. I said, look, that's what the Bible says. You don't get to say no. You can make requests, but you don't get to say no. Service, self-sacrifice, loving the other rather than loving self. All right, anything else, Pastor? All right. Well, let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll dismiss a little early from Sunday school. We have one section left for Song of Solomon, and then the book's done. I think it's 10 verses left. Dear Heavenly Lord, thank you for your word. Thank you for this time together. I pray that you bless now and be with us. Be with the preaching of your word, that you might use it to minister to each one of us. In the name of your Son, Jesus, pray these things. Amen.